Hi, and welcome to First Bite, a nation's restaurant news podcast. I'm your host, Holly Petrie. Today is Wednesday, March 13th, and here are your top stories. First, El Pollo Loco looks to kiosks and kitchen technology to offset some labor costs. The brand looks to ease some workforce expenditures as it seeks cuts ahead of the California wage law. Second, here's how President Biden's crackdown on junk fees will affect restaurants. Biden announced a new strike force to crack down on unfair pricing. The FTC names restaurant surcharges in its proposed trade regulation rule. Third, 27 restaurant executives on the move in February. From Inspire Brands to Taco Bell to Sweetgreen, there were shakeups in the C-suite. Fourth, Jeff Ruby Steakhouse parent sued for tip theft. Jeff Ruby Culinary Entertainment was a defendant in a similar federal lawsuit from former employees in 2013. And finally, Chipotle brings back Chicken Al Pastor. Chicken Al Pastor quickly accounted for 1 in 5 transactions at Chipotle restaurants last year after it was first introduced. Now let's dive deeper into a trending story for our website. KFC's newest restaurant in Rome, Italy, marks the company's 30,000th global location. The company announced the milestone, noting that a new KFC location opens somewhere in the world every 3.5 hours on average. In 2023, KFC opened nearly 2,700 restaurants across 96 countries, a 10% development pace and setting a brand development record. More than 80% of unit growth came from 15 publicly traded franchisees. KFC accounts for nearly 50% of parent company Yum Brands' divisional operating growth. During Yum's most recent earnings call last month, executives called out several standout markets for the brand. China, India, Thailand, South Africa, and Spain drove KFC's development during 2023 and were part of a group of 15 countries that grew unit count by more than 25 restaurants. Further, KFC plans to enter its 150th country later this year. For more on the story, let's turn to Alicia Kelso.
So we got some news today that KFC opened its newest restaurant in Rome, Italy, all the way across the globe. Why is this significant to us? It marks the company's 30,000 global location. There's so many locations. It's like already even, it doesn't roll off the tongue. Let me just put it that way. It's certainly a milestone. And I think what was really interesting about this news release that KFC put out, and that has been reiterated by parent company Yum Brands on its past several earnings calls, is that KFC is opening somewhere in the world, a new restaurant every 3.5 hours on average. And that is just stunning to take a tick and to think about how KFC has been around a really, really long time. I mean, it's been around for 75 years. It is unquestionably a legacy brand. So to think of KFC opening somewhere in the world every 3.5 hours, it just kind of blows me, you know, off my feet every time I think about the growth algorithm right now and this the development machine that Yum Brands has become. Where that segues into this conversation, however, is that it's certainly not the only, you know, company, American restaurant company that is really focused on expanding internationally. And, you know, I want to be clear here, American restaurant brands, you know, and the opportunity that exists for them abroad is not a new conversation. You know, we really started expanding our footprint overseas, you know, in the 1970s. There became more McDonald's and KFCs and Burger Kings and Domino's internationally than domestically within the past 2 decades. You know, again, so this is not a new story. In the past 10 years, though, it seems to become a much bigger story. And you know, we've seen more focused resources here. We've seen much more aggressive, you know, development plans and more markets and more testing of markets and so on and so forth. And that's pretty much because sales started growing faster internationally. We talk about legacy brands here. You know, how much room is there to grow in the United States after 75 years? You know, again, KFC is the example here. It's a legacy brand. It has ebbed and flowed in terms of openings and closings. You know, but, you know, like I said, about 10 years ago, we started seeing sales grow faster at many of these American restaurant chains overseas. At the same time, the U.S. market, the U.S. restaurant market was becoming really saturated. And, you know, we saw this, especially within the casual dining space around 2015, probably through 2018, where we saw a significant retrenchment in that category, other categories as well, but especially hitting the casual dining space. There's only so many options for Americans to eat, and we have so many here. The newness of global markets is exciting too. And, you know, when we talk about KFC again, because that's the hook of this particular discussion, it's going to open and it's going to debut in its 150th country this year. So again, a brand that's been around 75 years is going to open in its 150th country this year. And it's going to do so with great fanfare, like all of these brands have been doing. They're finding their footing in new markets, you know, whether in Europe or Africa or Asia. And most of the time, the reception is really, really tremendous. The saturation in many of these markets just isn't the same as it is here. And again, to go back, Yum Brands is hardly the only quick service company that's targeting ambitious international growth. You know, late last year during McDonald's Investor Day, the company announced it's aiming to have 50,000 restaurants globally by 2027. You know, that's like in 2.5 years. November, Starbucks unveiled its goal of expanding its global footprint to 55,000 units by 2030. And then, you know, our colleague Brett Thorne just spoke to executives at Inspire Brands because the company marked its 10,000th international location. Fairly new to the game compared to those that we've already talked about. But 10,000 locations obviously is nothing to sneeze at. You know, and of course, Inspire, with the backdrop of what's happening at Yum and McDonald's and Starbucks and so forth, talked about having a lot of white space. And indeed, it does when you see what's really happening. Even smaller brands, you know, if you think about domestically McDonald's versus Wendy's, for example, there's about a threefold difference between the two of those companies in terms of unit count. Wendy's has identified an international as one of its three $1 billion opportunities alongside breakfast and digital. So, you know, and it's even like newer brands, Chipotle, which has been around less than 30 years. You know, I read a story a week or two ago how they're a cult favorite in the UK, and they just started expanding in the UK about a decade or so ago. So this is a phenomenon. We've read about this, you know, how certain cultures embrace, you know, Americana, which is certainly what has happened in China, you know, for the preceding decades. But now we're seeing this in other markets beyond just China. And I think that's what the KFC story is here, especially when considering it's going to open in its 150th market this year. Now, I think it's really important to layer this conversation, noting that there are very clear challenges that come with having such an ambitious international growth agenda. You know, Taco Bell is a good example here. It's actually slowed down its international pace a bit and shifted its focus on infilling existing markets to scale rather than planting flags all over the place. It certainly has a lot of opportunity nonetheless. Taco Bell International, in fact, has a lot of opportunity that is, explained in Yum Brands earnings calls. But it just had adjusted strategy to infilling. We've seen some, you know, challenges with Chick-fil-A as well. It's had its own international struggles, you know, about a decade or so ago, and pulled back from international markets. But as we are seeing, that company is now being aggressive again with international markets. If that underscores the opportunity that, you know, now exists. We've also seen, you know, challenges that exist from global unrest. Of course, when you plant flags in markets all over the world, there's bound to be some challenges. And we saw this, you know, with things like the Russian invasion of Ukraine. You know, KFC exited the Russian market altogether to the tune of 1,100 locations. Obviously, that's going to have a big impact on the balance sheet. You know, McDonald's and Domino's also closed shop in Russia. Now we're seeing a little bit, of retrenchment, and we're seeing and a major sales impact because of the ongoing war in the Middle East that has impacted companies like McDonald's and Starbucks. You know, obviously you lose a little bit of control whenever there's global unrest and you have a global footprint. And that's, again, the risk you take. Of course, you know, there's also a ton of benefits. And I think this is the point here. I think this is where we're going to keep much of our attention moving forward as more chains start to become even more aggressive with international growth, is the benefits here. And this is, you know, we've kind of talked about this as the industry becomes a bit more bifurcated, right? The big are going to get bigger. The small, we perhaps worry about if you, you know, aren't having great operations or great four-wall economics. We're seeing this with Yum Brands, you know, for example, it just brought its chizza to KFC US. That product has been wildly successful in global markets for several years. In fact, I flew down to Dallas in 2019 and got to try it in their global test kitchen. And I'm really glad they brought it here because it was really good. But it we're translating that here finally, because we, you know, Yum Brands, KFC was able to see the success and translate it to the domestic market. That is a benefit. We're seeing it with Yum's technology adoption and rollouts as well. They've been very aggressive on the digital and technology side. They're rolling out new systems to some of its smaller markets throughout the world, understanding exactly how those systems work, exactly how those systems can benefit restaurant operations, and then translating it elsewhere. We're seeing this with McDonald's. Last year, the company announced what it's calling its One McDonald's Way initiative. It's basically flattening the system to streamline everything across, you know, again, that giant global footprint. And they're pulling pages of successful implementations from one market and putting it in another. And that's technology, operations, especially marketing, you know, from various markets and bringing them elsewhere. We're seeing that really ramp up from McDonald's. And, you know, all of this goes back to that power of scale, whether it applies to menu innovation or technology or marketing or whatever. And I don't think that can, personally, I don't think that can be overstated now as the world becomes more interconnected, you know, through trade and technology and so on. So as we become more globalized, I think this is going to be the benefits are far going to outweigh the risks here. And we'll see more aggressive growth, you know, internationally as you know, domestic reaches another saturation point. So we'll keep you posted. Stay tuned here.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode of First Bite. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new one. Until then, stay up to date with all your news on EtterN.com.